Today on Hands-On Photography, I challenged you. You stepped up for the challenge. Yep, we're talking about the Moon Photography Challenge. You guys sent in a bunch of different images. I'm only going to show you a handful of them. So y'all stay tuned. Let's check out these shots.
This is Twit.
Listeners of this program get an ad-free version if they're members of Club Twit. $7 a month gives you ad-free versions of all of our shows, plus membership in the Club Twit Discord, a great clubhouse for Twit listeners. And finally, the Twit Plus feed with shows like Stacy's Book Club, The Untitled Linux Show, The Giz Fizz, and more. Go to twit.tv/clubtwit, and thanks for your support.
Hey, what's going on, folks? I am Ed Pruitt, and this is Hands-On Photography here on Twit TV. Hope y'all doing well. I'm unbelievable as always. This is the show where I like to sit down and share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post-processor. And from time to time, I actually challenge you too. I want to challenge you to be a better photographer and post-processor. And that's what's going on with this week's show. But before we get into all of that stuff, just let me do my standard preamble and welcome all of you to the show, Hands-On Photography. Those of you that are here for the very first time, I appreciate you popping in. Go ahead and subscribe right now in whatever podcast application you're using. We're available on all of them, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's Spotify, whether it's YouTube or Google, all of those things, you know, so go ahead and subscribe on those and be sure to check out our website as well, because it has all of the previous episodes and previous show notes. Yes, I have show notes for this show. Get that. Go to twit.tv/hop. That's twit.tv/HOP for Hands-On Photography. And you can see all of the subscription options there and all of the show notes and stuff, just like I previously mentioned. Now, all that stuff's out of the way. Let's go ahead and get started with this week's episode, y'all. Okay, so way back on, I think it was episode 116. See, the episode 116, 117, somewhere in that area. We did a sunrise photography challenge where I took a look at some images from a proposed sunrise photography challenge. Okay, so then I said, all right, your next challenge, if you choose to accept, it is moon photography. And I gave you some time to go ahead and get out and shoot, not get out there and share with me images that you shot last year, that you shot, you know, umpteen years ago or several months ago. I wanted you to get up off your butts and go outside and take some photographs of the moon with whatever camera you had. Didn't matter if it was a smartphone, didn't matter if it was a fancy smancy mirrorless or DSLR or even a point and shoot. Just get on out there and go shoot moon photography. That was the task at hand. And quite a few of you followed that to the T. Some of you did not, though. Some of you didn't, but that's okay. Yeah, I asked you to email the images to me at hop@twit.tv, and I got a bunch of them in. And some of those images that came through, they were quite nice, but I'm not going to go over some of those images on this week's episode. Why? Because number one, they came from, I don't know, several months ago. They came from several years ago, the images. So I automatically dismissed those. Those are disqualified. I needed this challenge to be an active challenge. Okay. And then there was the aspect of folks that were sending in the images that I thought were absolutely beautiful, but they did not give me their written consent in the email that said, hey, you can show my images on the show. I'm cool with you showing my images for Hands-On Photography and for the Hands-On Photography community. So I had to just leave those out the way too. But I still have some nice ones to pick through here that I thought would be great for discussing. And so let's go ahead and do that now. But first, let's pause for just a quick break while I get good old Lightroom squared away and loaded up, you know, because I don't want y'all to see this thing taking forever to load. So let's take a quick break and then we'll take a look at some of these images. Okay, so I got an image in, and this came with the email, and it came from D. Simmons, and the message reads as, I was out in my yard a few days ago and noticed the moon was visible in the early afternoon here in Atlanta. Huh, Southern man. Now, I had just purchased a used 70 to 200 millimeter L lens for my Canon and just wanted to see what kind of reach I could get with the moonshot if I was going to try one of these for your challenge one night. So I shot the first shot just for the size reference. Then I thought, let me put the tree in the frame just to give it more perspective. Then the artistic juices started flowing. And as you say to yourself, okay, one last shot. Yep, been there, done that. Now, back to raking leaves, says Mr. Simmons. Most people, myself included, think of moonshots as only at night, but a, quote, day moon is a viable option. Couldn't agree more. Next time, I'll be ready to really get creative. Love your show. Free to use anything here for a teachable moment if you see fit. And that's from D. Simmons. All right. Yeah. Great image. So let me go ahead and pull it up here inside of Lightroom for you. All right. So he mentioned shooting actually a couple of different things of note here. He's on a big body camera, mirrorless or DSLR, one of those. I'm assuming it's a DSLR. I don't see it here in my metadata, but he mentioned shooting a 70 to 200 millimeter lens. And okay, that is one of my favorite lenses. I don't know if it's necessarily ideal for moon photography, but it depends on what you're trying to do. So with this shot here, he's got a nice zoom going on and he can clearly see the moon. But if you want like some extra detail like this to show up in the frame, to fill up the frame, you're going to need more reach. But with that said, I love the idea of shooting in the daytime to capture the moon, because at least for me here in Sonoma County, California, it's really tough for me to see the moon some days. It's some evenings. I don't know why. You science folks probably know why. I have no idea. There's a lot of times I just don't get to see the moon at night. The sky's either way too cloudy or the moon is like way far away for some reason. But in the daytime, I see it out there quite frequently. And shooting the moon in the daytime brings a different host of challenges because you're dealing with the light coming from the sun, all of the ambient lighting. And then you're dealing with the reflective light coming off of the moon. And when you look back at our episode, I believe it was episode 106, where we talked about how to shoot the moon, the challenges of just dealing with the reflective light coming off the moon is enough of a headache, let alone dealing with ambient light in the daytime. So I got to give you credit for being able to knock this shot out and not have it all overexposed or underexposed and still be able to capture detail in your foreground here, as well as getting a little bit of detail of the moon showing up there off in the distance. Good stuff. And the framing on it, I like that you got the creative juices going and saying, hey, let me frame up this shot. Let me not just shoot the moon in this plain old blue sky. Let me see if I can capture it as it's just going right past this tree limb here on the screen and right underneath these extra little branches and leaves and twigs and stuff. Not twigs, but, you know, limbs right there on the other side of the tree. Nicely done. Way to stay patient. Way to put the thinking cap on and think about composition and framing. Totally dig this shot. Nicely done. I wish I knew which camera this was, but doesn't really matter. It's on a 70 to 200 millimeter lens. So it's probably like a Canon 6D, 5D, or maybe one of their Canon R series. Not sure. So good one. And you got another one in here. Pretty much the same premise. I don't like the framing on this one as much, but I do dig this clarity again on this image here. Okay, so first thing that I was thinking, there's a lot of just dead space showing up on this screen. So why not just get rid of that dead space? So I'm going to crop it down. You know what? I will make it an unrestrained crop. So why not just crop it down and get rid of all of that extra space on the left, all of that blue on the left, because it doesn't really add to the image. But that right there, in my opinion, I think that works. We get a nice little framing of the moon up in the upper third of the image. So again, very, very nice work on this one. I love your thought process and your ability to just say, you know what, let me challenge myself and shoot this as a moonshot in the daytime. So good stuff. Now let's go back and take a look at our next bit of feedback. This one comes from Jay Wise. And it says, "Hello, Ant. Hands-on Photography is an incredible show." All right, now you watch it. You're just going to make me blush here. "I have learned a lot. Please continue to share content. Earlier, I sent a moon photo from my phone. I finally had an opportunity to capture the moon after leaving my job. Please share your thoughts. You do have permission to use them on the show." And that comes from Jay Wise. Yeah, so I got your images, and I saw the first email, but I'm not going to share those. I want to share the images in this particular email that you attached, because I thought they were, quite frankly, I think these are more captivating versus the first ones you sent. Because a lot of times when you go out there and try to shoot the moon with your cell phone, if you literally just frame it up and tap the shutter, it's a bit of an underwhelming shot if you're trying to make the moon your focal point of the image. And a lot of times people are saying, "Hey, I'm going to go outside and take moon photos with my phone." And then it's not really grabbing the moon. It's just a dot off in the distance up in the heavens. And it makes it seem like everything else in the frame is the subject. But I thought these shots that you sent in were still quite interesting. So let me go ahead and pop on over to those. Okie dokie. So here it is. Moon in the daytime. Imagine that. I dig that you were thinking the same thing that the previous listener was talking. Why not go ahead and just shoot the moon in the daytime? And this one, I'm not sure the camera offhand. Let me see if it shows the camera. Don't see it showing in my metadata, but that's okay. He just says it was shot on a camera and not a phone. And I can tell because it's got decent clarity. Looks like it is cropped down to a smaller resolution. But again, why not just, get rid of the dead space over here? It's not really adding to that image. You can even do a bullseye like so, putting the moon fairly centered. Or you can go even tighter, get closer to that portrait mode or closer to that 8x10 mode, and put it right here on the middle third off to the right, like so. And you get a much nicer and more compelling image. Heck, I could still crop this some more. Let's do it like that. Cause the top, it's not really adding anything. So why give it all of that extra information? That right there, my friend, I think that's a much more compelling, quote, moon photograph. Why? Because the moon is the focal point here. I like what you did with your adjustments here. It's not overexposed. It's not underexposed. We got plenty of detail on the subject that needs to be in detail. And the tree is just a bit of an accent trying to lead your eye up towards the moon. I dig this. Very, very nicely done. And I love how you labeled it moon at sunset here on the file. That's good stuff. Thank you for sending this one in. So now let me take one more pause and then we'll take a look at a couple more images here. All right. So hold on. Okay. And we're back and we got another image that comes in and we have some feedback from, I believe it's Mr. Larry Martinez. This message reads as, "Hi, Ant. It takes some experimentation, but with the tripod and a remote shutter release via iPhone, it works." Ooh, I love that. Okay to reproduce. Thanks for the great show, Larry. And this was shot on a Canon PowerShot SX70HS, which is a point and shoot camera. So let's go ahead and take a look at this one, y'all. Ooh, man. Shot it at night. Got the exposure just... quite nice. The detail is almost like really, really crispy, but this, I can just add a little more clarity to it if I want right here inside of Lightroom and just bring out more detail, add a little more texture. And look at that. This is great. And if anything else I would do with this, I would pull down the highlights on it just a touch, because as I pull down the highlights, I can see even more detail hiding right there in the center of the moon here. This is good stuff. And you shot this with the phone mounted on a tripod, with the camera mounted on a tripod, and you use a remote trigger action. That's very, very smart. Pretty common technique is a lot of times people will use the remote trigger if the camera has to be set somewhere that they can't necessarily frame it up to their face or anything like that, or get behind it, or they do it to minimize camera shake, you know, because a lot of times when you're pressing that shutter button, you still introduce just enough shake on the camera that may lead to just a little bit of motion blur in your image. But if you have it on a tripod and you use a remote shutter, you're pretty much guaranteeing yourself not to get any type of micro jitters. That is, if your tripod is halfway decent, because a really, really cheap tripod will still have a little bit of wobble to it when the camera moves. So I don't think you had that issue here. I think this is very, very well done. Nice detail there. If you want to crop it in some more, you could. Yeah, I would crop it in just, you know, maybe 20% or so, something like that. Something like that. Yeah. I think that's even better. So, Mr. Martinez, nicely, nicely done. All right. Last image here. Let's pull up the message from our last person. Okay. This one comes from Joe Esposito. Joe Esposito is one of our Club Twit members. I appreciate you, Joe. You're good people, and thank you for supporting us here in Club Twit. All right. So the message says, "Hello, Mr. Pruitt. Here are some morning shots from the morning of this email. I know you set the image submission limit to one or two, and I've attached four for you to select from them." Of course you did. "On the three vertical ones, they all have aspects that I like, so I will turn editorial control over to you." Okay, I get that. "Even without a good zoom lens," sorry, "I was surprised how much I like these. Manual settings are really where the magic lives. The only edited image is the one labeled OP4, which I changed by pulling the color off of the moon. You have permission to use any or all of these for HOP. I appreciate the show and all your great tips, Joe Esposito." So, okay, he shot this with an OP4. Is that what that means? OP4, as in like one of those old Oppo phones. So let's pull up his image here inside of Lightroom. But I didn't pull up four. I pulled up image number one, okay? Image one, because it really got my attention with the way it's framed up and the detail and the exposure. Let me see what's the metadata on this one. Yep, no metadata listed on it either. Wonder why that is. Normally I get to see what everybody shot their stuff in. Lightroom did just update today, so maybe something's broken. I'm not sure. But anyway, we're going to power through. So this is a shot that I grabbed out of the bunch of four because it just got my attention. It has a pretty classic setup here. You know, when you think about shooting with a phone, okay, again, I mentioned people say, "I'm going to go out and shoot the moon with my phone," and it ends up being just this scene and then a little blob floating out there in the air. This is not that. This I can tell this is a shot with the phone or something with a small sensor because of the focal length and the exposure on it. But yet he's still able to get a decent amount of detail off of the moon and not have it show up just as a little blob of light there in the middle of the sky. So back in, I believe it was episode 106 again, I talked about how you can use your phone and just play around with the slider and adjustment controls right there in the original camera app for your phone to help control the ISO, to help control the shutter speed, so you can fight off the glare and fight off the noise and things like that when shooting these low light shots. This is great. And again, the framing on this, he has that pretty classic V framing going on here. If you look at the bottom of the screen in the bottom right third where the trees are, and they just sort of open up into this V formation, and halfway up the V formation, you get the moon just sitting there saying, "Hey, look at me." And then if you continue to follow up, you get to see the rest of the trees near the top of the frame, but they're just sort of barely there. But I just love the way this is framed up. I love the way he handled the exposure on this. From a post-processing standpoint, I'm definitely going to play with this one because I want it to have a little bit more vibrance and color to it. So we're going to add that, add a little more saturation here. And let me pull the exposure back just a touch just to see what happens. Yeah. See, even doing that, I still get a fascinating nighttime shot just by pulling that exposure back. And it's nice that this image has enough data to allow me to play around with this even more. If I want to change the color temperature of it, I could do that. So let's say if I cool it off even more, watch what happens to the blue. See how that blue just got even more rich? Good stuff. Good stuff. It says we're clipping in the shadow data, so I'm going to push the shadows up just a little, but not too much. There we go. And again, you can continue to add texture and clarity and sharpness. And if you want to do a little touch of noise reduction on it, you can. It doesn't look like it needs that much, though. Okay, so I just did a little bit. Yeah, this is good. Very, very good. And hey, Joe, I'm assuming you watched that episode because this, or you just knew what you were doing. Either way, kudos to you and much respect. Thank you so much for sharing this image. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode, folks. This one is, I'm really, really impressed that the images that I received, and heck, you didn't even see all of them. I got some really good images and they were quite nice. Thank you again for everyone that submitted for the Moon Photography Challenge. I need to think of another challenge for you all, so stay tuned for that. But hey, while we're still talking about the moon, word on the street is there is a lunar eclipse coming up in May. So go ahead and check that out. Look up the lunar eclipse coming up in May here, 2022, and get your cameras ready for that. Again, reference episode 106 here on the show. And I'll walk you through just, you know, making sure that you can get the most out of your camera trying to capture images of the moon. You got options like checking out my folks at lensrentals.com because they have lenses that you can rent at a very nice price. That's going to allow you to get even more reach with your camera so you can really zoom in on that moon and be able to just fill up the frame with a big old moon shot. So check them out, lensrentals.com. I appreciate them helping me out in previous episodes here on Hands On Photography. All right. So again, if you got questions, comments, feedback, go ahead and shoot me an email, hop@twit.tv. Again, that's hop@twit.tv. I love hearing from you all. Thank you for all of the previous messages. I answer them all eventually. But yeah, just keep sending them in and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you to my man, Mr. Victor, for continuing to make me look and sound good each and every week with this editing flow that you got, my man. Boy, I tell you, I make it work. I know I do. Hey, folks, thank you again for giving me a follow over on the social medias. Give me a follow over on Instagram. Yeah, since we're talking photography, follow me on Instagram. I am @_Pruitt over there. I love hearing from you over there, and I love it when you tag me in your images because y'all take some really, really cool photos, and I enjoy just the back and forth interaction with all of you over there. All right. Again, thanks for the support. Make sure you do all of the like, share, subscribe stuff and the rating stuff on Apple Podcasts and YouTube to help push us up in the ratings. All of that means a lot. And until next time, y'all safely create and dominate. And I'll catch y'all next week. Take care.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, editor of Ad Astra magazine. And each week I'm joined by Tarek Malik, the editor-in-chief over at space.com. In our new This Week in Space podcast, every Friday, Tarek and I take a deep dive into the stories that define the new space age. What's NASA up to? When will Americans once again set foot on the moon? And how about those samples from the Perseverance rover? When are those coming home? What the heck has Elon Musk done now? In addition to all the latest and greatest in space exploration, we'll take an occasional look at bits of spaceflight history that you probably never heard of, and all with an eye towards having a good time along the way. Check us out in your favorite podcatcher.